Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and we turn now from controversy in professional sports to a statewide development in high school athletics. The Board of Regents voted yesterday to make high school cheerleading an interscholastic sport in New York State, which means new safety regulations for competitions. Yes, folks, cheerleading is a sport as of yesterday in New York State. Not in New Jersey or Connecticut, by the way. But if you have ever seen a cheerleader somersault through the air and land on top of a pyramid of other cheerleaders, you know why this needs protection. What you may not know is that cheerleading has one of the highest rates of serious injury in sports. We have talked about the issue of brain injury and concussions for young men in sports. Now we're going to talk about young women and why they might be particularly at risk for head injuries. And listeners, the phones are open for your calls on the issue. If you're a current or former high school female athlete, call in and tell us about safety in your sport, whether it's cheerleading or lacrosse or soccer or anything else. 212-433-WNYC. Or if you ever played high school sports as a girl in the past, 212-433-9692, or parents or coaches of girls' teams, 212-433-9692, specifically on the relationship between this decision yesterday to officially declare cheerleading a sport and head injuries, 212-433-9692, as we welcome Dr. James Noble, Assistant Professor of Neurology at Columbia University Medical Center, who specializes in concussions and sports-related head injuries of all type. Dr. Noble, welcome to WNYC.
Thanks so much for having me on, Brian. Pleasure to be here.
Is it important, in your opinion, that the Board of Regents has declared cheerleading a sport?
Absolutely. I think this is a long time coming, and it probably follows along the lines of the greater consciousness that we've all developed for a number of both high school, collegiate, and even professional sports that have a high risk of having a head injury in the course of contact sports. Cheerleading, as you intimated when you're introducing the segment, is not commonly put in the same sentence as those other sports that are more recognized as having the competitive and contact sport nature to it. But clearly, it's a sport with very high risk and warrants a lot of safety and observation.
I'm looking at a graph of the percentage of concussions among injuries in different high school sports. And boys ice hockey is number one, with around 23% of the injuries in boys high school hockey being concussions. Girls lacrosse is number two at around 21-22%. And then cheerleading is number three with over 20%. And again, that's of the injuries that cheerleaders get, over 20% of them are concussions, one of the highest percentages in any sport. So what should we conclude from this graph?
I think it makes some sense if you're considering the sport as maybe we should. I think a lot of us think about cheerleading in the context of the cheer team that's on the sidelines next to a football game, but this is actually competitive cheerleading. These are the competitions that maybe a lot of us have passed by on the ESPN channel or something like it, where you see these large squads throwing cheerleaders way up in the air or having them assemble into pyramids and then collapsing safely back down to the ground. You know, these are potentially high-impact injuries with people being thrown up in the air, sometimes 12, maybe even as high as 15, 20 feet in some instances, depending on the athleticism of the team. And so if you can imagine, if that player is not caught or caught incorrectly, they're either going to hit the ground with the force functionally of falling out of a first or second story window, either against themselves or the person who's attempting to catch them.
So it's like gymnastics, except it's gymnastics done in front of a crowd that happens to be cheering for the boys' basketball team or something. And yet when I look at that same graph, the percentage of concussions of total injuries among female gymnasts is actually very low. Less than 5% of gymnastics injuries are concussions, while more than 20% of cheerleading injuries are concussions. How do you explain that?
Well, it has to do with the velocity of the injury when it occurs, and also if you think about what are the mechanisms of injury that somebody may get in the course of gymnastics. If you imagine Mary Lou Retton doing a floor routine, she's going to do a couple of tumbles up in the air, but she really is not going to be able to get any higher than she can jump. And even some of the highest dismounts that a player may have would be from the the uneven parallel bars, and those will be perhaps about as high as a gymnast might go just because the bars are way up in the air. But in cheerleading, in contrast, these players are being routinely thrown up as a symbol of their athleticism way up in the air. Like I said, they're hitting themselves as they strike the ground, or they're hitting another player, perhaps head-to-head contact as they come back tumbling down to the ground.
Carolyn in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Hi, Brian. How are you?
Good. Thanks for calling.
Ah, thank you. I just wanted to call in and say that I agree that that cheerleading, A, is a sport, and B, should have better regulations. When I was in middle school, we were practicing doing stunts without mats on the wood floor, and I fell on my face, and I've had to have surgeries up until last year. So from the time I was 13 till 28, I've been dealing with fixing the problem from that injury.
Wow.
So I agree that, you know, it is very dangerous, and I don't think people really took it seriously.
And you think this will help?
Absolutely. I mean, I think mats are obviously essential, and also spots. You know, we were young girls that were holding each other up and not necessarily strong enough, so I think even improving, like, workout time, strengthening, I think it should be taken more seriously.
Carolyn, so. Thank you very much. 212-433-WNYC. And Dr. Noble, there's been research that I've read showing that young female athletes show more symptoms of concussion when they get concussions and that they take longer to recover. If that's true, what would account for that?
It's really not clear. I mean, there have been a lot of issues that have been discussed, whether they be symptom reporting, that perhaps women athletes have different thresholds for reporting symptoms, or perhaps there's a physiologic difference in that we know that the brains of men and women develop differently. They're prone to different factors. Estrogen has been proposed as a potential factor for both injury and recovery. But generally speaking, it's not well known. Some people have proposed in the realm of football that players with weaker necks or less robust musculature in the necks, maybe those which are more prone to developing concussion after head injury, are more prone to getting one in the first place. And so neck strengthening exercises have been proposed, but not much of a scientific basis has supported that approach. Nonetheless, it's being espoused in a number of circles, and perhaps there's something about the way that a head moves on the body of a woman athlete versus a male athlete.
And some studies have suggested, relative to how the head moves, that this is related to the growth spurt the teen girls go through, usually a little earlier than teen boys, you know, leaving their heads relatively bigger than their bodies, but their bodies kind of gangly, you know, at a certain point of development.
That's true, but it seems as though that even past those periods of development, that women athletes are still at great risk for developing concussion, such as the case in women's lacrosse. No matter whether it's a high school or a collegiate athlete,
uh-huh.
You would argue that women's collegiate athletes are still developing.
And that self-reporting aspect that you mentioned is interesting. If true, as you say, I don't think that's been proven, but just like guys are less likely to ask for directions when they're lost, maybe they're
right.
Less likely to tell their parents or their coaches that they think they're hurt after they get a concussion.
Well, I mean, it's an interesting point. I will say, of the women athletes that I've met who are who have had injuries, they are fiercely competitive, no different than the men. I've taken care of Olympic athletes and collegiate athletes, and they are just as eager to get back into the game as their male counterparts. So the argument of having, you know, a greater tendency of reporting concussion symptoms, I'm not so sure, at least on an anecdotal level, it
mm-hmm.
holds much water. But there may be something different about the way that these injuries are experienced and expressed.
Jessica in Rockland, you're on WNYC. Hi, Jessica. Jessica, you there? Jessica in Rockland County.
Hi,
you're on the air.
Hi. Oh, how are you?
Good, thanks.
Good. I just wanted to call and say, because I cheered for 16 years and I coached cheerleading for the past 9 years, I definitely think that it's a necessity that it's considered a sport. There's just so much involved that people don't realize, and it is very dangerous. I know myself because I've had quite a few injuries from it, and it definitely needs to be taken more seriously.
What do you think is going to change, Jessica, for any of the programs that you've been involved with now that the state of New York has officially declared cheerleading a sport?
well, now that they declared sport, I feel like there's more that they can do. You know, as far as the competitions and stuff, there's only so much they can do because of all the regulations that they have that people don't take seriously. But now that it'll be clarified as a more serious situation, there's more they can do as far as competitions and stunts and, you know, tumbling and all that stuff, where they're able to actually do it without feeling like they can't because they're restricted. With more guidelines and regulations, it helps more as far as what they want to do when it comes to competing.
Jessica, thank you so much. And so to wrap up, Dr. Noble, I think we all agree that high school cheerleading, now declared a sport in New York State, is a big deal. It will be subject to the same safety protocols on the sidelines as high school football or any other sport. So from your medical perspective, what kind of training do high school coaches now need to get for identifying and dealing with concussions and brain injuries? What's the protocol at the sideline for any high school sport that now would officially pertain to cheerleading after yesterday's vote?
Well, the standards began to sweep across the land, the nation really in beginning in the early 2010 era, and following a series of Leistet laws, which are named after a football player in the state of Washington named Zachary Leistet, who had had catastrophic injury following two concussions in the same game. There was a letter sent from Roger Goodell on behalf of the NFL to all states in the union, the governor's offices. And one by one, most of the states, if not all the states by now, have these Leistet laws in the books, which mandate that anybody really from coach to trainer to anybody having contact with an athlete on the sidelines has to be certified through a standardized training program that they're aware and able to assess a player for potential concussion on the sideline. They don't have to diagnose it, but they have to be aware that the player may have sustained a concussion. And that's been available now for this training through the CDC. So there's a free online program called the CDC Heads Up Program. I've taken it myself. I actually work in my own town's athletic association, and we've made it mandatory for all of our youth coaches, even down to kindergarten level, to be Heads Up certified, just as a symbol to say that we take this seriously and it's important for the safety of our players. But it also enables us to put teeth to the fact that everybody who has a suspected concussion has to be formally assessed by a licensed physician in the state of New York before they're allowed to return to play.
Dr. James Noble, professor of neurology at Columbia University Medical Center. He specializes in concussions and other sports-related head injuries. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me.